3 years ago, I started telling my parents and my friends that we're preparing to leave for the States because we want to come here to get trained. And then they were so excited for us because they were happy that we're coming to the States. And most of them, when they heard that we're going back after 3 years, they said, "This is not smart. You should stay there. You should stay in the States because in the States there is peace. Everything is available in the States. You can live there peacefully. You can enjoy your life there. And in the Middle East, there is no peace, there is no future there. Even they encourage us to have new baby here so we can have the American passport and he can transfer this for us." For them, this is what brings peace. We came here. A few months later, our neighbor was leaving L.A. And they said to us, "We're leaving because there is no peace in L.A. So we're talking with Jessica and I said, "They told us there is peace in L.A. There's no peace in L.A. Think with me now for the people that are living in Gaza, in Israel, in Sudan, in Lebanon, in Russia, in Ukraine, in all these places. If they have the chance to come here, they don't think that, or they go to Europe, you don't think it's better for them? Yes, it is. But guess what? Those who are in Europe are leaving because there is no peace in Europe. Everyone is searching for a peace. Everyone wants this peace. They are seeking to be living in a peace. But the problem, no one is defining what is this peace that they are searching for. Maybe they are searching for this peace that the philosophers of the early 90s, Timon and Pumbaa, they call it the peace, the problem-free philosophy. You know it? Hakuna Matata. So everyone is searching for this problem-free days, problem-free country, problem-free families, but no one is finding it. No one is finding it. And meanwhile, while they are searching for this, they found a temporary solutions like yoga, like pills, like alcohol, like smoking, like drugs, until they will find this philosophy. But still, no one found it. What is lacking in order to find it? What is needed to be discovered? Do you think that the advancement of technology will find this peace? Do you think a good political government will find this peace? Do you think AI can find this peace? Why we need to search for it? Why we don't have it by default? Everyone is searching for this. But the Apostle Paul, in one verse, defined for us what is the problem and why we don't have this peace. We will spend our time today in the Epistle of Romans, but we can go now just for this verse to Romans 5:12. And listen what the Apostle Paul is writing here. Romans 5:12. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. So, Romans 5:12. Paul writes, "Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned." It is one verse that affirms that everyone sinned through Adam. And if we go back right to the beginning, to Genesis, and remember what was the result of Adam's sin, it's not only the sinful nature that all generation after Adam have it, but in Genesis 3, verse 17, God is speaking. He said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. The ground also is cursed. In toil you will eat and all days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow of you. And you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground. So if peace for you or for the people around us is no toil, no work, free food all day, the land producing nonstop without any effort, a bank that never runs dry, no stress, no fatigue, no sleepless night, if this is the definition of peace for you, you will not have it in this world because it is cursed. So what is peace? If we will not have peace, how can we will receive this peace? And why Paul, in the beginning of this chapter that we turn in, chapter 5, he is telling us about a peace. He talks about a free peace, no need to move countries, no need to take any pill, a peace that Paul has, and he's talking that many others also have it. So that's why we'll spend our time today in Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, to see what kind of peace Paul is talking about. Let's read it together. Romans 5, turn with me, verses 1 through 5. Paul writes, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us." This is the very word of God. So Paul, before arriving to this first verse and saying, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, he spent 4 other chapters introducing this idea. But before introducing this idea, he spent the first chapter describing the sinful human nature. Because we need to understand where everything started. And he says in Romans 1:8, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who suppresses the truth in unrighteousness." This is what we know. This is who we are. And then he continues in chapter 2 and he affirms that no one is excused. And each person will be judged by God because of his sinful nature. And then he continues and he's adding on this and he states the shocking message that no one can save himself. And no one can see God. In Romans 3:10 he says, "There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." He's building up his argument, and he's arriving to chapter 5, and he affirms, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." What happened? What happened between chapter 3 and chapter 5? How we turn from being unrighteous, condemned, enemies, to become we having peace with God. So in order to understand this peace, and in order to enjoy this peace, we will ask this passage 3 questions. We will ask this passage 3 questions in order to do 2 things. 1, if you have this peace, so you can rejoice, and you can enjoy what you have in Christ. 2, if you don't have peace, to know how you can have it. So we will ask this passage 3 questions. 1, why we didn't have this peace. 2, how we got it. And 3, what does it mean that we have peace with God? Let's go first and ask why we didn't have this peace before. So Paul is saying, having been justified, we have peace with God. It means that before this justification, we were not justified. And if you're not justified, it means that you are guilty, because justification is giving someone or affirming that one is not guilty. So Paul is saying that now because you are justified, you have peace. Before this justification, you are still guilty, and it means you are condemned. And when you are condemned, it means you are enemy with God. Sometimes people does not like the word enemy with God. They want just to use the word, you are far from God. We are running out of God. But the word of God does not say this. It says, not just far from God, but we're enemies with God. In Romans 5:10, he says, enemies. In Ephesians 2:3, he says, we're by nature what? Children of wrath. We were enemy. Even in Romans 6:17, he said, we were slaves to sin. This is our nature. So if you look back and you see why we didn't have the sin, because we're enemies with God. We cannot fully appreciate the new state that we are living in if we don't remember from where we came. We came before this work of justification, of being condemned by God, enemy with God, under his wrath that resulted from our sin. Friends, the wrath of God is something real. People around us hate it. They want to remove it. They want just to keep Jesus is love. They want only to keep grace. God is love. Jesus loves you. That's it. They want to remove the wrath from it. They want to remove the punishment. And do you know where this started? It started in Genesis 2 and 3. When God told Adam, and he told him, if you will eat from the tree, you shall surely die. There is consequences for your sin. Then the serpent came, and what did she tell Eve? You will surely not die. Do it, do it. There is no problem in it. There is no consequences for your sin. God is merciful. God is gracious. He loves you. But this is a lie. One theologian called it the gospel without this wrath. It is a liberal gospel. It is a gospel of a God without a wrath, brought man without a sin into a kingdom without a judgment through the ministration of a Christ without a cross. This is the gospel without a wrath. But Paul, in chapter 3, in the middle of chapter 3, he turns after laying this foundation that we are sinful and dead, he introduces a new concept or a new doctrine or a new truth, a new reality, which is now against all ungodliness, there is a wrath coming from God. And because man disobeyed God and rebelled against him, today man is standing guilty before this God. Think with me for a moment. Usually when two countries are in war, they fight, and then they stop fighting. And if they don't reconcile to each other, what they do? They build walls, right? They build walls between the two countries, and sometimes the UN come and settle on these borders. Why? They want to assure no one from each side is coming from to attack the other side. They want peace, but this peace is not a real peace. It's just putting them aside. Because it is impossible to be found in one place without attacking each other. Think with me, if your enemy is omnipresent, omniscient. If your enemy is with you all the time, around you all the time, What is your plan of escape? Where do you think you can go? David said, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Because he knew that God is everywhere. And if God is your enemy, where are you planning to hide? You cannot. And that's why we were not in a state of peace. Because we knew that there is an enemy, a God who is not happy. He's our enemy, and we're condemned with him. The writer of Hebrews writes, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Sin have consequences. Sin is the cause of our enmity with God. The result of our enmity is a judgment and wrath. And no one can escape this. And that's why we're not in peace with God. That's why we're not in peace with God. So we come back and we ask this question, why we don't have this peace? The answer is because we are in enmity with the holy God. Let's go and ask the second question. And the second question is, how we got it? If you are in peace today with God, how you got this? What happened between chapter 3 and 5? How we moved from being enemies and condemned by God's wrath to be in God, to be in peace with God? Paul writes, therefore, in Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So he's giving us the answer by this first part, saying, having been justified by faith. So Paul is saying, based on chapter 3, there is a declaration of justification. So go with me to chapter 3, and you'll see starting chapter 3, 21 till 4:25, Paul is talking about justification. And in verse 24, he's saying, Romans 3:24, being justified as a gift by God, or as a gift by his grace, how? Through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. He continues in verse 26 and saying of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be the just and the justifier of the whom has faith in Jesus. And then he continues in Romans 3:28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So what Christ did brought justification. And sometimes this word is hard to understand. I brought from Mayhew and MacArthur a concise summary of this word, justification. Listen what they wrote. Justification is an instantaneous act of God. It's right away. It's instantaneous. As a gift of grace by which he imputes to a believing sinner the full and perfect righteousness of Christ through faith alone, and legally declares him perfectly righteous in his sight, forgiving the sinner of all unrighteousness and thus delivering him from all condemnation. So in this moment of justification, you are not anymore called sinner, but righteous through the work of Jesus Christ. Because he is righteous, he lived a righteous life, and he died without a blame on the cross. He gave you all his righteousness, and he took all your sins. That's why you are declared justified. In that moment, you're not condemned anymore. In that moment, you're not condemned anymore. Through his atoning work and propitiation, you are now justified. The removal of the displeasure of God, John Murray called it. They removed the displeasure that was between you and God. Who did it for you? Jesus Christ. It is by his work, it is by his life, it is by his cross and resurrection, this condemnation was removed. And that's why Paul spent from chapter 3 to chapter 5 introducing the idea of you do not have to do anything. Even if you do it, it is not enough for God's justice. It is by his work. It is by what he did for you. And he continues in Romans 5, 8, he said, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He was not waiting for you to do anything in order to offer you this salvation. We are justified by faith. And that's why the way of Paul introducing this piece in Romans 5, 1, he said, having been justified. He put it in a passive form. You did not contribute anything for it. It was passive for you. We've been justified. Even in Titus 3, 4, 5, he said, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done, right in righteousness, but according to his mercy. We did not do anything. We came to him with empty hands, hopeless state, and he gave us his righteousness. That's why we today stand in peace with God. Not because we became better, not because we decided to do something, but just because he offered this. And think with me now. If without this justification, we were condemned, people around us, or maybe even among us today, are searching to put their life in a peaceful state where their life is perishable, where their life is condemned to wrath. Think with me. If you have $5 and you want to protect this $5, do you go to a shop and buy a safe box that costs hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars? No. If you want to buy a thousand or hundreds of dollars safe box, at least you need to have something more expensive in it, right? Diamonds, gold, more money, more cash you put inside. People around us, they are protecting a perishable life and they are searching where they want to put it. It is not like putting a $5 in an expensive box, but it's like putting a banana in a safe box. Why? Because banana today is green, or it is, yeah, it's green, you cannot eat it. Tomorrow is yellow, you might eat it. The day after it's black, you throw it away. You cannot put it in a safe box because it will change and it'll perish. This is our life without Jesus Christ. Why are you searching to find a way safe for it? Why it is condemned to hell? Bring a good life into a safe box that perish once it dies. It's useless. It's useless. That's why our justification is nothing that we do for ourselves. And the peace that we want is not what we provide for ourselves. It is a way that Jesus Christ offer a justification for us to bring us righteous before a just God. Friends, don't search for peace if you are still enemy with God. But today there is hope because the door is still open to run to him, to seek his forgiveness, to submit to his lordship. He's the only one who can provide this for you. I know you might say, I've been coming to this church or to any church for years. I will ask you a question. Do you have peace with God? When you go to sleep, do you have peace with God? If you have peace with God, rejoice in this day. Rejoice with your brothers and sisters in this room. But if you don't have this peace, don't search for it. Stop it. Don't leave this place before talking with someone. one of the pastors, one of the elders of this church. See, how can you be reconciled to God? And I will tell you, they will give you this answer through Jesus Christ. Don't leave this place. Be reconciled to God. So we ask the question why we didn't have this peace. The answer was because we're enemies with God. Second, we said how we got this peace, it is through the justification offered by Jesus Christ on the cross. And we receive it, it's by faith alone. We believe that Jesus did it, we submit our life for Him, and we will receive this justification. Then we will move to our third point, and we'll answer this question. What does it mean that today I have peace with God? I will start by what not peace is, or what is not the peace of God. When we say we have peace with God, it doesn't mean that we will not have troubles in life. It doesn't mean that we'll not get sick. It doesn't mean that we'll not be in tribulation or persecution. It doesn't mean that our loved one will not pass away. It doesn't mean that we'll not have distress or trials. These are not the peace of God. But go with me to the verses that come right after 5:1. Paul is saying that after having this peace, we are living in a grace, and then he introduced something, and we exalt in the hope of glory. And then he continues in verse 3 and say, not only this, we exalt also in tribulations. It means that tribulation is coming even if you are in peace with God. Don't be disappointed. Don't base your peaceful mindset, if we can call it, on the level of tribulation that you have in life. He's saying that our tribulation, we will exalt in it, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we go in this cycle that it started with grace and it come back to grace. And in this cycle, there is perseverance, there is tribulation, there is proven character. The Lord is working on our heart to sanctify us for His glory. And this is not related to the peace of God, because now we have peace with God. He's not talking about peace through God. He's saying we have peace with God. In John 16:33, Jesus saying, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. What did he say? We'll have tribulation. We hear a lot of people around us in the church life, those who knew God, he will tell you, I'm sad of God. I'm sad today because now I'm living this or that. My child is sick. My mom is dying. And they link this with their relation with God, as if God didn't warn us that in this life you will have tribulation. You will cry. And the hope is in the glory, in the future glory. So friends, don't think that what we're passing through in this life will change the level of peace that you have with God. It doesn't mean that the peace change. It is one time that you are reconciled to Him and your problem is solved. When we say we have peace with God, it means your biggest problem in life was solved. And what was it? You were enemy with God and not anymore. Your problem was sin, and sin was punished. It was punished on the cross of Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't punished on Jesus Christ's cross, you will take it with you to hell, and you will hold this punishment for eternity. And this is a big problem. So if you're saying that now I live in peace with God, it means your biggest problem is solved. Sickness is not a problem. Losing someone is not the biggest problem. I'm not saying this is will not broke our heart. This is, doesn't mean that we'll not cry. This is, doesn't mean that we'll not feel in sorrow. And I will pray with you and I will weep with you if you're passing through this. And we pray that the Lord will bless you and will give you comfort. But this is not that you don't have peace anymore with God. Peace with God, it means you're not His enemy anymore. Look through Christ Jesus who you became when you got this peace. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. So in this justification, you have been reconciled to God. This is one. Then we know that this reconciliation was through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we know that we were far off from Him, and we have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then he continued, and then he said, not only justified and not only reconciled, he continued that he say, now we are in peace with Him. So he's building all this together, right? Joel Beakey say, peace with God means more than a feeling of security. Peace is relation harmony as opposed to conflict. So these are solved, right? And then he continues, he says, not only justified and reconciled, in Ephesians 2:19, he said, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are now what? Fellow citizen with the saints and are of God's household. So it's not now you are in peace with Him and He will tell you, go, we're in peace, I will not see you again. You were His enemy, He brought you, you were reconciled through Jesus Christ, and He will tell you, come in. Go inside. You are one of my household. You know, in the old days, the household is not only like the close family. In the household, there were the cousins, the those who work, the slaves. Everyone was in the household of this guy. But God brought us in His household as what? As children. You're not anyone in this household. You are now a child of God. And if child, you are heir also. You will inherit with Christ. From enemy to child of God. Do you know why you are in peace with God? Because now you are His child. He brought you in His house, and you live with Him. Not only justified, not only reconciled, but also you are a child and you will inherit with Him. Do you have this peace? My question for you, do you have this peace? Even if the economy will change, even if war will start, even if cancer will appear, even if accident will come, are you in peace with God? I will finish with you with this. Do you remember when we met Moses the first time? He was in a basket. Right? He was saved and he was brought through Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Because Pharaoh commanded all his people saying in Exodus 1:22, every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile. So we were introduced to this character in a problem, in a brutal situation. And then they send Moses in a basket, and the daughter of Pharaoh adopted him into this royal family. He was adopted, right? And he lived his life in this palace, in Pharaoh's palace. And Pharaoh was like the biggest guy in all the world, almost all the world. He was there. But guess what? This adoption stopped when Moses was not in harmony anymore with his family. This adoption was broken because now Pharaoh and Moses are not reconciled anymore. His adoption became enemy. The Egyptian became enemy of Moses and all the Jewish people. This adoption was broken. I'll tell you something. Your adoption is an eternal adoption. You are brought by the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid it all. You don't need to do anything. He paid it all for all eternity. You will not lose this adoption. And I will ask you, that's why you are in peace today with God. Do you rest in this truth? Do you rest in this truth that now you are reconciled to God, you are justified by Christ, and you are living in peace with God? If you're not, I beg you, be reconciled to God in this morning. Our peace with Him is set. And this is what Paul is talking about here. This is the peace that we need. And this is the peace that we shall all rest in. Our future is set before us. We are waiting for this day that we will be with Him. But now let us live in this peace that we have in Christ. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. As the song said, your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your obedience. We thank you for your righteousness. We thank you that you went to the cross willingly. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Thank you because you finished the work. And we thank you for your resurrection, because all these brought us in peace with God. Thank you because today, through Christ, we stand in good relation with God. We became your sons. Lord, we rejoice in this truth. We rejoice in this reality. We ask you that you forgive us every time we act in a different way. Lord, we pray that you open the hearts of people that they are still living without this peace among us today. Let us rejoice in this day and remember what you did for us. Jesus, thank you. We love you. We praise you. We ask you that you give us power to live as children of God in this world who is searching for peace. Pointing to the right peace, shining among them for your glory, Lord. We thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.